Hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I think we're doing like fan favorites this whole entire week. We have another friend that is coming back to visit the Take Two family, and we are going to ask you to send in your comments via the chats on the social media streams. I'm waving to all you guys. Get the chats going, and also by texting and by email. And so we're bringing back, and he's visiting Take Two, is Father Doug Brown. Yes, you know him. You love him. He's from the Diocese of Cleveland, Ohio. He's the chaplain of the EWTN affiliate there, AM 1260 The Rock. He's also the chaplain of the fire and police in Cleveland. And he's also the pastor, a very popular pastor, of Mary Queen of Peace. And so welcome back to Take Two, Father Brown.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm very flattered that I'm called a fan favorite. I was included with that list. I'm very flattered. So thanks very much. It's great to be with you today.
That's hilarious, Father. Yes, you elevated up from being a friend of Take Two's all the way to a fan favorite. So there you go. Yeah. You can add that to all the other awards that you have won, Father. So there you go.
Proudly.
Yes. And Father is also a wonderful radio host. We get to host the pledge drives together for AM 1260 The Rock, which is coming up in just a couple months. I'll tell you, folks, the fall season is right upon us for the pledge drive. So when your local listening area comes to you and says, please give generously, please do so, because then you can hear programs like this and then you can hear one of your favorites, Father Brown. Well, Father Brown's going to get a little serious today with us. Okay. He's going to put on his pastor's hat, and he's going to tell us exactly what happens with these habitual sins, right? These recurring sins that just really plague us. You know, you go into confession. Has this ever happened to you? You go into confession, you're like, okay, let's take, I don't know, alcohol, for instance. Let's say you've had a problem with alcohol and you go into the confession. You're like, okay, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to kick the habit. I'm going to go to confession. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. And then as soon as you come out of the confessional, then there's that beautiful restaurant right down the street, and you start thinking about that wonderful glass of wine or glass of beer that you can have, and you're like, oh, here we go again, and it's over and over again. Has this ever happened to you, these recurring sins that really, really just stay with you? You're trying hard to break free of them. You really are using the wonderful healing sacrament of reconciliation to help you, but it's kind of like a rinse and repeat. And you know, Adam and I on the Spirit World last weekend, Father Brown, we talked about this idea of going, it's like a revolving door. You go into the confessional, come back out. But we have to talk about the elements of a good confession. So, Father, I'm going to give the information on how our listeners can reach us. No phones today, guys. Yes, I know. I'm going to get the emails. Phones will be back on Monday for sure, I think. I'm going to say for sure, hopefully for sure, on Monday. So don't worry about that. But you have other ways to reach us. Father, it's so cool. Our listeners can reach us by texting. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, then you text us your first name and your brief question for Father Brown or a comment, and just know that message and data rates apply. Also, drop your messages in the chats and Rich will retrieve them. Michael is monitoring everything. He's our producer. You can also go to take2@ewtn.com and send us in an email. But Father, I have some questions for you. Anything you'd like to begin first, Father, real quickly before the break, on this idea of habitual sins?
Well, why don't we begin with a prayer, Debbie, right?
Sounds great.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Almighty God, we are grateful for your presence here among us. We ask for your assistance and the intercession of our Blessed Mother to help us with those sins with which we most struggle. Help us to be able to recognize them, eradicate them, and truly do it out of love for you. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. So, Father, just for our listeners, because we have brand new listeners every single day, and we have folks that aren't Christian that listen to our show, non-Catholics as well. Please tell us the real raw definition of what are habitual sins.
You know, Debbie gave a great description at the beginning of a practical real life example. And it's those things we do over and over again. And I have confessions every day at my parish. And so I recognize the habitual sin. I have the frequent flyers, we call them. You know, they come back and they're there and they're confessing the same sins and they want to stop sinning. They really do. I know that they do. But for whatever reason, this habitual sin has become ingrained as a part of their life or has become worked into their daily routine, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they can't do it. And it's so difficult. And I know it's frustrating for them. I know they want to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So, Father, we're going to hit the pause button in just about 2 minutes. But I want to ask you this question because recently, Adam and I have been tackling this topic. We did it a few times. We just did it this past weekend on habitual sins. And then I know other shows are doing it as well. And I received some of the emails from our listeners. They're really concerned now. They have a little bit of a fear that they're going to go into the confessional and they're going to confess their sins and Father is going to not give them absolution. And can you kind of explain that because and kind of calm everybody's fears down? Because now there's some fear happening that people don't even want to go to confession because they're like, I don't want to get rejected like that.
That's the worst possible solution to eradicate habitual sin. Just avoid the sacrament. That's the worst possible solution. We all have to understand again that the confessional is not a place of judgment. It's a place of mercy. And the priest is there to help you reconcile your soul with God. That's what he wants more than anything else. Of course, on the part of the penitent, the person going to confession, there has to be contrition. You have to be sorry for your sins. If somebody comes into the confessional and says, I did this and I'm really not sorry and I'll probably do it again. Mm-hmm. Well, then and that becomes an issue or a question of whether absolution can be offered or not. But in 99% of the cases, people are sorry and they mm-hmm. do want to confess their sins and they want to get rid of it.
So if a penitent is truly sorry, and you may have to answer this on the other side of the break. If a penitent is truly sorry, but they go to the same priest all the time, so it's a regular confessor, does the priest sometimes offer some suggestions on maybe you should go get some professional help and that kind of thing? But hold that thought, Father, because this is really interesting. And actually, we're getting the messages coming in already from the Take Two family. They want me to kind of dive deeper with you so they can see what happens in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Our dear friend, Father Doug Brown, is with us today from the Diocese of Cleveland. He's the pastor of Mary, Queen of Peace, and also the chaplain of Fire and Police and AM 1260 The Rock. So stay tuned. Father Doug Brown is with us today on Take Two for the entire hour, and you're sending in your comments and your questions for him about making a really good confession and what happens with these recurring sins, these habitual sins that really just, they're kind of like old baggage. We just drag them along with us through the thing called life, right? And so we're going to be talking about that. If you have something to say, please get your comments in before the end of this episode. I'm going to have Father answer the question and continue on with what really happens when a penitent goes in and is truly sorry, and but yet it's their regular confessor, and does that particular priest do they start to say, hey, you know what, you have a problem here, maybe you should go to AA, maybe you should go get counseling? Does the priest offer that kind of direction and counsel sometimes? Okay, but before Father answers, let me just share this with everyone. Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite by Father Robert J. Fox. Experience the power of Jesus's real presence among us. You'll see how Jesus is the very reflection of the Father and how God loves you intensely through his sacrifice on Calvary and his enduring presence in the Holy Mass. Gain insights on the Holy Eucharist, Scripture, the Faith, Eucharistic miracles, the Fatima apparitions, and more. Discover why Eucharistic adoration is crucial to growing in charity and union with our Lord. How the Holy Mass was celebrated in the early church period. I would love to just get it just for that because I have been searching that lately. That's amazing. Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite by Father Robert J. Fox. You can pre-order your copy today by CatholicShopEWTNRC.com. Okay, Father Brown, could you please start unpacking this for us on when the penitent goes in and some of the things that are the exchange of some things that happen in the sacrament?
So the first thing, Debbie, is that if you are struggling with habitual sin, you really should have a regular confessor. And I really do think, I think most people should have a regular confessor, somebody who knows them, who knows their sinfulness. So I think it's ideal to try to go to the same priest on a regular basis. Usually what I recommend is monthly confession. I think that's a great tune-up for somebody to do.
Now, okay, time out, Father. You said monthly confession, so once a month. So even though we are supposed to go once a year, you're saying once a month for habitual sins.
Absolutely. And again, if somebody wants to go more than that, they feel like that's going to help them eradicate it, I'm okay with that. But at the minimum, I think most Catholics should be going to confession at least once a month, even though, you know, again, the church only requires us once a year. But having that regular confessor, going to confession once a month, it's the job of the confessor to challenge the penitent, the person inside the confessional. It's the job of the confessor to do that, especially when he knows him. So now, when you have a regular confessor, the priest who you offer your confession to, he is now in a lot of ways responsible for your soul. And so he becomes invested in seeing that you stay out of mortal sin. So he wants to try to challenge you on occasion. He may try to push you a little bit. And there may be some very practical suggestions, Debbie, like you had mentioned, whether it's AA or whether it's whatever it may be for the habitual sin with whom somebody may be struggling. But that's his job to do that, because now as your confessor, that priest is united in battle with you for your soul, and he has responsibility for it. So again, his goal is not to berate you, not to judge you, not to make you feel guilty. His goal is to help your soul get to heaven.
So, Father, now you got me a little bit nervous about that, because if a person has their regular confessor and they are working with that particular priest through the sacrament, is there ever a chance that regular confessor would say, that priest would say, okay, you've been in here 200 times, I'm not going to give you absolution? Does that ever happen?
It does. I mean, on occasion it does, but you know, with contrition. As long as the penitent is deeply sorry and not like fake contrition, not like crocodile tears, it's real contrition, real sorrow for that sin. And whether, again, it's perfect contrition or imperfect contrition, either way, there's contrition. And then the priest, in most cases, should give absolution. However, there may be some where, you know, I don't believe that this penitent is truly sorry. They keep committing the sin over and over. They don't seem really sorry to me. Maybe I can't offer absolution in this case.
So, Father, if absolution is not given, what happens to that person if, God forbid, they leave that confessional and they get hit by a car and they die?
It's a very good question. And again, if it's a mortal sin that is indeed on their soul, and remember, Debbie, we have to understand the criteria for mortal sin, because right. I have a lot of people who come to see me and they get confused on what's mortal sin. Is it grave matter? Is it something very serious? Do you know that it's a mortal sin? Have you done it with full intention? So those are the things we look at, but the issue of grave matter sometimes is difficult for folks, and I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. However, you know, anybody who dies with unabsolved mortal sin on their soul, then damnation. I mean, that's what that is. It's a scary word, and it's frightening. And you know what? Maybe it should be.
Wow. Okay. I think we struck a chord here, Father, because all the messages are coming in pretty fast. So
all right.
we're gonna definitely do like a lightning round of comments coming in. Let's get this first question. This has come in from a wonderful listener in New York. And, you know, she makes a really good point, Father, and it's going along with what we're saying here. So here's what she wants to continue on with the conversation. She said, so when we go into the confessional, should we admit that we are struggling with this habitual sin sometimes? I'm embarrassed to say that. However, if we continue to confess it and really try our hardest to get rid of it, doesn't the sacrament help to alleviate it from our life? I mean, isn't it better to go to confession than not for these things?
Absolutely. And New York listener, that's a great question. I really am happy that you brought that up, because we should, you know, the first thing we have to do is recognize that it's a habitual sin, that we're wrestling with something. And then sharing that with your confessor is really important, so he can know then how to treat you, how to treat your soul, how to try to bring peace and healing to your soul. So by knowing that it's a habitual sin, there are also certain sins that when they are habitual sins, the gravity of that sin is lessened.
Okay. So that say that again for us, Father. That's important.
It is important. When you recognize that you have a habitual sin, and is habits, you know, habits are sometimes difficult to control. They take on their own life in some way. An example would be like cigarette smoking, right? The habit of cigarette smoking. So you want to stop. It's difficult, very, very difficult. And maybe you can't do it. You try, you quit, you start again. So when something is habitual, the gravity of the sin, the grave nature, the seriousness of that sin is lessened somewhat. By how much? I mean, that's, you know, I don't, there's no way to really determine percentage wise or how much the gravity is lessened. But in some cases, then, if a habitual sin with lower grave nature, then it may not be a mortal sin in that case.
Oh, interesting. See, this is fascinating. Okay, we're getting a lot of comments from the Take-Two family by direct message and by email and by the chats and by text now. So that's great. But you're saying, the Take-Two family is saying, Father, they're so grateful to you that you're having this conversation with us, because people are really taking confession seriously and they want to do it well. And so they're very grateful to you. And we're getting comments with a lot of emojis saying, love this topic. So thank you, Father. So Father, going back to, okay, now this comes in from a wonderful listener. Everybody wants to remain somewhat anonymous. I can understand it. It's confession. So everybody, I'll give you a pass this time, you guys. This is coming in from the great state of New Mexico. And this wonderful listener wants to know if absolution is not given, can you go right away to another confession and try to get absolution?
I mean, I guess you could, but that would indicate to me that there was some misunderstanding between the priest and the penitent, the person making the confession. That would say that there was some problem, and that you didn't communicate, the penitent didn't communicate his or her sorrow or contrition effectively, or their firm purpose of amendment or anything like that. If somebody didn't get absolution, went to another priest and got it right away, there was some communication issue related to that first confession. That's what I think.
Okay. And now we've got more questions coming in. And folks, you're asking me again to give you the information on how to text us the easiest way. Our show team is standing by, Michael and Rich. We will have phones back hopefully by Monday. So that's great. But you can always reach us at take2@ewtn.com. You can put your comments in the chats. Just go to YouTube or Facebook. That's the quickest way. Get your comments or questions in. But texting is super convenient. Here's how you do it. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your question for Father Doug Brown. And just know that message and data rates may apply. Father, have you ever, and tell me if you're not able to share this, because I know everything in the confessional needs to remain confidential and private. I get that. But you can generally talk about the protocol and the practices of the sacrament of reconciliation. Has there ever been a time for you in particular where you were in the confessional and you're like, oh boy, this is way out of my my league here. This is very difficult. Has there ever been something like that where you had to maybe, I don't know, say to them, can you schedule an appointment with me, or can we talk about this at a later time, where it became too much of a counseling session? Has that ever happened?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely it has. And you know, when you're talking to people and you need information, enough information for them to confess the sin, for the priest to understand the nature of the sin, whether it's a mortal sin or not, and how it may have impacted your relationship with God or your relationship with others. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that the priest wants to know about. But if it's very complicated or convoluted, then yeah, I would refer somebody to say, let's set up a time to talk where we can sit down and really unpack this and really go through with what is the situation in your life.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and that includes lifetime confessions too, right? They should make an appointment, not do it in the regular Saturday confessional.
No, general confessions should always be done by appointment. It's just that you don't time it when you're hearing confessions on a Saturday, or when I hear them on weekday mornings. I don't have time for a long general confession because there are usually people waiting.
Right. Now, Monsignor Charles Pope, I just love this in his parish in D.C. He does confessions. He offers confessions on Sundays. Why don't we do more of that, Father? I mean, is it because of the shortage of priests?
Usually it is. So we do here. I do. I'm by myself at this parish. So I do confessions on Sundays during Advent and Lent. Okay. And that's been very effective for me to do that. I'd love to expand them. There are just some times where I have other things happening on Sunday mornings. I have, it's also a good time for captive audience, for meetings. My Rosary confraternity meets on Sunday mornings. And so I have to go to those meetings, all of those things. I wish I could do more with it. At this point, it's Advent and Lent right now are my priorities.
Right. Well, that's very generous of you to offer that for your parishioners at Mary Queen of Peace in Cleveland. No wonder they love you so very much. Okay, we are getting messages back from some of our listeners saying you are really making people feel good today, Father, and feeling very confident going into the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So thank you for doing that for all of us today. We have another question coming in, Michael on YouTube. Michael, I'm waving to you. Thanks so much. You're going strong there with the chats. But Father, if you can't continue to fully answer this, as we hit the break, just go ahead and you can pick up on the other side. But Michael asks this, Father, and this may take a large portion of the show. Question for Father Doug Brown. In a recent video, Bishop Papraki indicated that a cell phone in the confessional can get one automatically excommunicated. But if it was unintentional, what is the protocol?
Very interesting comment. So let's first talk for a moment about the seal of confession, and then we'll see how far we get with that. So the seal of confession, binds the priest. The priest cannot reveal any information about the confession. I'm really pretty strict about that with me. If somebody wants to ask me a question about unrelated, like parish matter, I always say, wait till the confession's done. Then I can refer to that question at another time. The seal of confession is something we have to closely safeguard as priests. If we reveal anything from the confessional, we could be excommunicated. So with that said, a priest having a cell phone in the confessional, and with what we know about technology and much of it listening to us, we've all had that experience where you're talking about sunglasses, and then you start seeing ads for sunglasses on your feeds and in your email, whatever. With that knowledge, then I'd be very uncomfortable having a cell phone in the confessional. Now the penitent.
Okay, hold on, Father. This is too important, and we're gonna hear that music. We're gonna hit the break here, and this is so important, guys. If you just tuned in, you want to stop what you're doing and listen to Father Doug Brown, because this has been coming up a lot lately. Michael sent it in by YouTube. We're so grateful to you, Michael. Father's going to thoroughly answer this question about cell phones in the confessional. Okay, very, very important. You hear that music now? Thank you, Michael, our producer, right on cue. And send your questions in, your comments for Father Doug Brown today. He is definitely a friend of the Take Two family, and we love him, trust him. So stay tuned the rest of the episode. We'll be right back. This may be your very, very lucky day that you tuned in to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, especially if you absolutely frequent the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You love confession, and you want to receive it properly. And this is the show for you. I believe it because we're seeing the comments come in. So if you have something to say about this, drop it in the YouTube, Facebook chats. We'll pick it up very quickly. But Father Doug Brown is with us the rest of this episode of Take Two, and we are live today. So I know we don't have the phones going today, but we have all the other ways for you to reach us. So on this beautiful August 7th, we are live with Father Doug Brown, and he's talking all things about the confession and what happens in the confessional that can help us as we receive this great healing sacrament. So Father, please pick up where you left off, because it's so important what you're saying right now about cell phones. Now you're talking about cell phones. You're talking about the seal of confession. You're talking about cell phones in the confessional. Also talk about if the person brings it into the confessional, or if the priest has it. How does this all work?
There's a difference, of course, because the priest is bound by the seal of confession. The priest cannot reveal under penalty of excommunication. The priest could be excommunicated for revealing. However, the penitent is not bound by the seal of confession and is able to talk about, if they talk about their confession with another person, they're not breaking any kind of seal. However, I would strongly caution any individual from talking to too many people about your confession. It's really inappropriate. That is a very special conversation with you and the priest who is representing Jesus Christ. I think it's a mistake to talk about your experiences in the confessional. When we were kids, Debbie, maybe you did this, wasn't the right thing to do, but you compare penances. Oh, I got seven Hail Marys. What'd you get? So the penitent is not bound by that seal of confession. If the penitent has a cell phone, right, they could do it again. But do we want someone listening to our greatest sins, to our greatest faults? Do we really want that? And if that's something that makes you uncomfortable, and it probably should, then I would not bring my cell phone into the confessional. But there are different expectations for the priest and penitent.
Okay, so what about what Michael said? Because, and I'm not trying to out my confessor at all, but I was a little disturbed. I mentioned this a couple months ago that I went in for the sacrament, and he was actually on the phone talking to somebody. And then he turned off the phone and he goes, "Don't worry, it's off." And it made me very nervous. And not that I had anything major to share, but I mean, it just felt weird. Is it proper to say to Father, is there any way you can make sure the phone's off?
Absolutely. I think you should say that to him and to ensure that that phone is not on and not listening and not also diverting his attention.
Exactly.
His intention should be on the penitent, the person who is in the confessional, not if he's, texting somebody or answering emails. It's not the place for that.
Right. So what about what Bishop Papraki said about this whole thing about cell phones in the confessional can get one automatically excommunicated? Is that because of the whole breaking of the seal of confession, or how does that work? Like, I mean, that's going to also make people nervous because everybody has their cell phone on them.
Yeah. Again, for the priest is bound by the seal of confession. The penitent is not.
Okay.
So again, if a penitent brings their cell phone into the confessional, they're not bound. They are able to talk about it. There's not that risk of excommunication. However, again, the caution is, do you want whoever's on the other end of listening to us, do you want them to be listening to your sins?
No, you're so right, Father. And you said earlier before the break about this idea that you'll be talking to somebody about, I don't know, hamburgers, and all of a sudden everything pops up on your phone about all these fast food places, and you're like, how did the phone listen to everything I said? So, it is kind of, it does get you very uneasy, and you want that privacy, you want it to remain confidential. So Father, this all, the And honestly, Father, I actually think it's turning out to be a good thing for all of us as Catholics. But everything that's been happening in Washington State with all of this going on about challenging the seal of the confessional and everything and all the lawsuits, appeals, all the things that are going back and forth and all of the comments that are coming out from clergy and from others and groups that are really trying hard to get the word out of what's really going on there or being challenged there. It actually turned out to be, I think, a good thing for us on Catholic Radio because we're really diving deep into the sacrament and protecting our precious sacraments. What do you say to that, Father?
I agree 100%. And again, if somebody is not familiar with the case in Washington State, what's happened with that is that if they were making priests reveal sins that were confessed to them that may endanger a child. Okay, that's really where the crux of the matter comes from. But there's this misperception that the priest doesn't try to hold somebody accountable for behavior. They believe the priest just listens and gives a penance. But there are times when as a confessor, as a priest, I need to hold the penitent accountable for that behavior. So if somebody comes in confessing some kind of heinous sin that's really awful, terrible, and it could be any number of things, then my intentions are to get them to resolve that issue in the way that helps them, their soul bring peace to their soul, and also to legally ensure that they do the proper thing. We live in a country of laws, and there are laws we have to follow.
Yeah, it's interesting. It always seems like, though, Father, when outside people or even politicians or things of that nature in that arena, when they start challenging the Catholic Church, they really and truly need to be careful because, I mean, our church is set up so incredibly beautifully for 2,000 years, and we have everything working so well. The culture comes in and tries to insert themselves and tries to mess things up. I mean, that is so. And to me, there's got to be so many. If you trace it back, you almost have to think that there has to be some kind of demonic part of that, where you're trying to come into this to Holy Mother Church and really disturb things in ways that are going to hurt all of us as the laity and the lay faithful. That's so dangerous to me. I always get nervous with that when you hear businesses when they'll make comments about the Catholic Church, they'll say, oh well, yeah, there's that Catholic Church, that's what they believe, and they start to do that, and it chips away at Holy Mother Church. It's very unfortunate. But it does give us a chance, the lay faithful, to come together, to know our faith, to live our faith, and to stay strong in this crazy world we live in. What do you say to that, Father? Oh, did I lose Father? Is Father with us? I might have lost Father. Oh, see, I mentioned the demons. Okay, so We need the Take Two family to say the St. Michael prayer, please. This is exactly what happens when we start to get too close to revealing the absolute truth for everyone to be free and to be confident in their faith life. This is what happens. The demons come right in and they try to get us very distracted and very frustrated. So here's what I need our dear listeners to do. I need you to, Michael, our producer, is going to reconnect, I believe, with Father. So we'll get him back. And then I need the Take Two family to say the St. Michael prayer. In fact, everybody, please do that. So let's continue with this, with these comments that are coming in. We're talking about the sacrament of reconciliation, the healing sacrament of reconciliation. And Michael, please just let me know when we have Father back. Okay, thank you. And you can always text us the comments or questions about confession and how you approach the sacrament, any questions you have for Father Brown. It's super easy to do. Okay, we're getting Father back right now. See, thank you. Somebody prayed the St. Michael prayer. I love our Take Two family. You moved quickly. Do we have Father back with us?
I'm back.
You know, Father, every single time, you know, Father, I've told you this, every time, for 3 years I've been doing the spirit world with Adam Bly, every time we get so close to when we impart information on the radio to let people be free and be confident in their sacraments and be confident in the church, and we start to go in that area, boy, oh boy, did the demons try to come in and mess with technology. But we got your back, Father. So the Take Two family was right on top of it, prayed the St. Michael prayer. And so now I need our listeners to show up strong. This is how we go even more focused, folks. We send in your comments now, because we need to show all of heaven that we're not going to get distracted. We're going to stay focused. We're going to speak the truth. And we're going to have people walk a very, very wonderful, confident spiritual life. Comments on that, Father?
Absolutely. And that's what we're all about here. And the sacrament of penance, the confession, reconciliation, it's a vital part of a good spiritual life. And I go back to what I had said earlier in the hour, that I think most Catholics should be going to confession at least once a month. I think that that's a good practice to be in. And whether you're doing it on First Fridays, First Saturdays, or another time, do what's best for you, what works for you. But you also have to prepare for that confession and begin to identify, okay, where am I sinning? Where are my sins that keep happening? How can I identify what my sins are? And then identifying what's mortal, what's venial. And when you come into the confessional, the hardest thing for a priest is when somebody comes into the confessional and I say, go ahead with your sins. And they say, let me think. I'm really not sure. And then it's frustrating because that person is not prepared.
Right. They should really do a proper examination of conscience. And yes. Father, I will tell you, I know a lot of people when I stand or sit in the confession line, I know a lot of people that will have an actual little note and they'll write down all of their sins. And that's proper too. Right, Father?
Absolutely. It is permissible to write down your sins. And again, I always encourage people to destroy that paper, shred it or do something with it so that it's not able to be found or traced back to you. And that has nothing to do with the seal of confession. It has to do with what we feel is a private moment between the penitent priest and Jesus Christ. That is a private moment and that should not be shared with others, whether on paper or through communication.
So, Father, when you put your stole on to go into the sacrament of reconciliation, at that point when that penitent comes into the confessional box or the confessional area, you are in persona Christi, correct?
Correct.
So you're in the person of Christ.
Well, again, when I'm offering the prayer of absolution.
Absolution. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, like my other conversation with the penitent may not exactly be in persona Christi, but when I'm also offering absolution.
Okay. So if this is a comment that's just come in from, Missouri. Okay. Maybe Missouri or Michigan. They're coming in pretty fast. If the priest does not have that stole on, can they do the sacrament of reconciliation?
Absolutely. I've heard confessions in parking lots, in hallways, and all over the place. If somebody comes to me and says, Father, I really need you to hear my confession now, and I don't have a stole with me. I should have the stole. I don't have it. I may be in a place where I don't have access to it.
Sure.
I can hear that confession. So, wow. I've heard confessions many different places.
Okay, and this is coming in from the great state of New Jersey. What about, Father, this idea of when the priest does not ask you to say the act of contrition, are you still absolved?
I mean, basically, the act of contrition is an opportunity to express sorrow for one's sins, to express contrition. That's what contrition means. It means sorrow for one's sins. And there are two kinds of contrition. There's imperfect contrition and perfect contrition. Both are valid. Both work. Imperfect contrition is we are confessing the sin and we don't want to sin again because we're afraid of hell. Who isn't, right?
Right.
And perfect contrition is for those who don't want to sin again out of great love for God. We always want to strive for perfect contrition, but I'll tell you honestly, a lot of times it's hell that's trying to get me back on the straight and narrow. The thought of hell is getting me back on the straight and narrow, and not necessarily, the love for God is there, but that's not the overwhelming desire to confess that sin. Mm-hmm. So as long as there's contrition and that person has expressed sorrow for their sin, a desire to amend their life, and the hope that they will not commit that sin again, if they're doing that without an official act of contrition, then they're satisfying the requirements of the sacrament of penance.
Okay.
There's a valid act of contrition for some people, and I this is listed in the actual rite itself, is, oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, right? That's an act of contrition in itself. Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, were the words of who, Debbie?
I'm sorry.
The publican. The publican, yeah.
Okay.
Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Right. Yes. Thank you. I was reading the next comment come in, and please forgive me, Father.
I was listening.
That's okay. I was listening to you, Father, but only half listening because we got Nikki. I got to get Nikki's comment in. Go ahead, Father. Continue. I'm so sorry.
But so that's a valid act of contrition.
Yes. Oh, see, that's what we're getting.
For your contrition.
Okay. One more time, Father. There was a little hiccup on your side. One more time. Say that one more time.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yes.
Beautiful. So you just like to hear me identify myself as a sinner, which I do.
I'll do that all the time, Father. That's fine with me, too. Okay. Keep us humble, right, Father? That's the
absolutely.
That's the phrase. Yeah. So, Father, I have so much to share. Well, I'm going to run out of time. So let me do this real quickly. I've got some highlights. I got some congratulations. I want to highlight a couple programs coming up, including the one that you're going to host this afternoon. So I want to make sure I get that all in. And that's what, and we want to get Nikki's comment in. This is very interesting. Also, too, venial sins are washed away at Mass. We've covered that many times. So venial sins, that those lesser sins, maybe like, I don't know, I gossiped a little bit at work or something of that nature. Those minor sins are washed away at Mass, folks. Okay. The shout out congratulations is going out to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 19 years with us. KSMR 97.1 FM serves Great Falls, Montana. Wow, what a beautiful area. Congratulations to Tony Roush and his team at St. Michael Radio. I love that it's St. Michael Radio, from your friends here at EWTN. Okay, and folks, check out The World Over tonight with Raymond DeRoyo, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio and TV. Marco Rubio, U.S. Secretary of State on Foreign Policy, International Religious Freedom, and much more. Edward Penton of the National Catholic Register on St. John Henry Newman, about to be made a Doctor of the Church by Pope Leo XIV, and Robert Royal and Father Gerald Murray discuss the recent Jubilee for Youth events in Rome and a controversial new production of the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. I've been reading about that, Father. That is very, very disturbing. The World Over with Raymond DeRoyo tonight at 8 Eastern Time on EWTN TV and radio, and get the news from The World Over in your email inbox every week. Visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe. So, Father, please forgive me. I probably need to go to confession. I was half listening because I really wanted to get Nikki's comment in here. And it's very interesting. And I think this is the way we should close the show, talking more about this. So on YouTube, Nikki, thank you so much. What about the near occasion of sin? Does the priest ask about that, Father?
Yep. He should be asking about that, because usually that near occasion of sin leads to sin in most cases. And so, you know, that's what happens with habitual sins, with mortal sins, with a lot of sins. We know we're headed toward down that sinful path. We don't just accidentally sin like, oops, I sinned. We know we're going to sin. In many cases, we do it anyway. So maybe, you know, the sin of gluttony. We're eating, and we like, I know I shouldn't be eating this, you know, fourth cupcake, but I'm going to eat it anyway because it's so good and they're delicious. Well, You know you're going to sin, and you know you're down that path. And even having cupcakes in the house, that's the near occasion of sin, possibly for you, to draw you into that sin of gluttony. So we have to be really careful about where we put ourselves, what we expose ourselves to, what we listen to, what.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There's an old.
Okay, go ahead, Father. One more time. Rewind a little bit.
Okay. We have to be aware of the company that we keep, the things we listen to, the things that we watch, the people we talk to. All of those things are really important for us to be able to identify what leads us into sin and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, now they're all flying in really, really, really fast. So, Father, On YouTube, Kathleen says, even if prepared for confession, I still don't know what to confess. I try hard not to sin. So Kathleen is struggling of what to confess. I confess. I have to tell you, Kathleen, I know you're listening because you're on YouTube. I'm waving to you. But Kathleen, I agree with you. You know, sometimes this always bothers me, Father, and I'm not trying to complain about my other parish that I go to confession at, but the priest sometimes comes out of the confessional and he'll go up and down the line and he'll say, just give me the most serious sins, and I don't want to hear any details, and I don't want to hear anything, don't give me any excuses, don't tell me any context, don't do. And by the time I get into the confessional, I'm shaking. I don't even know what I need to say anymore.
He should not be doing that. That's wrong. He should not be doing that at all. I mean, you know, people need to have the freedom to be able to go to confession. And if you don't have enough time to hear all the confessions, then you need to make more time. You need to shepherd your people. So that's most important.
Right.
What I often tell people who say, I don't know what to confess, Father, I'll say, pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your sins, and make that a very sincere prayer. Pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your sins. And as a sincere prayer, he will do it, and you might even regret asking him.
You might even regret asking him? Is that what you said?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why is that?
Because you might be confronted with your sins and be like, oh, boy, I'm awful, I'm terrible. I mean, I didn't know I was committing all these sins, and the Holy Spirit has revealed these to me.
Right, right.
But is the other alternative, though, is that your soul remains in sin, and that's a worse alternative, much worse.
So it's very similar to how Padre Pio used to handle the conversations that used to happen in the confessional. He would really challenge the people. And cause he could read souls, and he could read, you know, what they were holding back. And so he would actually, I have heard at times, actually ask people to leave until they really had a change of heart or a firm purpose of amendment. You know what I mean? Like really come in there with the right, genuine attitude. Do you ever sense that sometimes? Like would you ever challenge a penitent to do that? Like if you see somebody is insincere, would you say, hey, this is not the role of this sacrament? You know, why don't you take it to prayer and really come back, you know, a little bit changed? Do you ever do any of that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to challenge the penitent sometimes. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people may come in and they may say, help me with my confession, Father. And I'm happy to do that. And then I may ask some questions about common sins, like, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? And I'm happy to do that for people who are having a hard time. But if they come in insincere and they, it's a joke, or they aren't really sorry for their sins, then yeah, I will challenge them on that. Absolutely. I said, this is very serious, and you should not be making light of the state of your soul.
So like, let's just do an example, just because we hear about these things on TV. So you get somebody that comes into the confessional and they're like, yeah, I'm sorry. I binge, drank all weekend and got behind the wheel and drove drunk again. And I just couldn't help it. It's my weekend off. And they're kind of flippant about it, right? They're kind of, you know, joking around, like, you know how it is, you know, I work all week. So would that be something that rises to that level where you would say, hey, you know, what are you doing? You're getting behind the wheel of a car. This is dangerous. Is that where sometimes a priest will step in and give that good direction and counsel?
Absolutely. And sometimes with very strong words that, you know, you're not on a good path. This is not going to end well for you. You need to recognize that there are consequences to your actions, and these are potential consequences. If you're willing to accept those consequences, you know, jail, death, I mean, all of those things, if you're willing to accept those consequences, then keep doing what you're doing, because that's where you're headed.
Wow. I want to definitely go to one of your confession times. I think you really care about the people, Father. It's so obvious. And that's why the Take-Two family recognizes really good, wonderful priests and guests that come on to Take-Two. And you're a Marian priest. You love the Blessed Mother so very
much.
And I love that about you. So if you want to catch more of Father Brown, if you're thinking that we could go a whole nother hour, Father's going to be on today on The Quest. That's through the Guadalupe Radio Network, and that's at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on The Quest at grnonline.com. And he'll be talking about how do you love those that are unlovable, those difficult people in your life. It's going to be a fascinating and fabulous discussion, and the phone lines are open there, so that's wonderful. But Father, I know that the fine folks of Cleveland love you. I definitely know that AM 1260 The Rock appreciates you. You are amazing. The fire and police, wow, you are such a great representation and chaplain for them. Thank you, Father Brown. You hear the music. Real quick blessing, please.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. With your spirit.
May the blessings of Almighty God be upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Brown. Keep on keeping on. Everybody's praying for you for good health and strength and everything you need to do at Mary Queen of Peace in Cleveland. Father Brown will be back. I'm already getting messages saying, can you bring him back? Yes, Father Brown will be back. Hopefully he'll be back, so that's great. He's always got an open invitation. Thank you to Michael and Rich, our show team. You did a fine job. Thank you to all the affiliates at Carry Take Two. You are doing such a good service for your listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We got a brand new broadcast prepared for you for tomorrow. So until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.